creation and seeing the beauty of it and just the incredible and how intricate things are that God made. I mean, what a marvelous thing to see his handiwork. You can worship God in nature, but you don't do that in such a way to neglect what he says about being faithful to the Lord and to the Lord's house. Brother Rowe had this on his Facebook page. I haven't put it on mine because I only have like 20 friends. And so it really wouldn't get out there very good with me. Okay? Sorry, folks. I get all these friend requests. I already had too many friends already. The reason I say that is because I have this thing where I think if they're my friend, then I have to check up on them every day and read, okay? Sorry, I don't have the time Pastor Taylor has to check on all 787 of his friends that he has. Whatever it is, it's a whole bunch. Or Brother Rowe, where'd Brother Rowe go? There he is back there. He probably got 1,000 friends, I don't know. But anyway, here's what it said on his page. Tim Clinton and Max Davis, in a book entitled Take It Back, Reclaiming Manhood for the Sake of Marriage, Family, and Culture, said this. When a father attends church, there's a 93% chance that everyone else in the household will also. Set the example, Dad. Be the spiritual leader. When I was growing up, I was taken to church. We didn't always, especially in my younger years, go to every single service. We were faithful Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning. We moved, when I was 14, moved to a little church up the river in West Virginia where we used to live. And we started going, we were mostly teenagers then, our family, and started going to every service. My sister was actually already out of the house, I believe, by then. So anyway, but my dad, he just didn't say, yeah, y'all going to church. I'll sit here and read the Sunday paper or catch up on something around here. He took us to church. It's important, gentlemen, as the father, provide spiritual leadership for your family by taking them to church. We see, first of all, point number one, the priority of local church attendance. It's a priority because church attendance is commanded by God. Remember what Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Well, if the Lord commands us to do something, then we love him. We ought to want to do what he says to do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Let's read again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Okay? Now, during the COVID time, there was set up for, I don't remember, how many weeks was this? Quite a few weeks where we didn't even have live service because, was it 6 weeks we didn't have it, didn't have live service, and we started working back into it. And I'm just telling you, it's not the same. Sitting there looking at my iPad, okay, and singing along. And come the invitation time. Okay, well, I'm already saved, I'm already a member, so I don't have to pay attention at the invitation time. So I'll just go get something done here or something like that. You say, yeah, we won't ask what all things you did. Get up walking around. My wife did a little getting up walking around too during those times also. Just confess her sins to you also. Mainly getting ready, getting lunch ready or something. But it was just, it was, we didn't skip the service. We didn't skip the preaching, okay? And anyway, I'm digging myself in deep here. I better move on. It's not the same. I mean, I know for sure of a couple that watched those still laying in the bed. Say, how do you know that? Well, I'm not very good at technology, but all I know is when their thing would pop up and their name would come, their picture can be on it, and somehow they didn't know how to do anything else, and there they were. I won't tell you who that was, but it's not the same. Okay? It's not the same. I think about Wanda McKibben, who's in her 90s and cannot attend church anymore. You know, every Sunday morning she gets up and dresses in her church clothes and watches a service on TV. It's important, this matter of going to church. It's commanded by the Lord. It's a priority because the next generation needs to learn the importance of church attendance and what it means to worship the Lord. Let's look at Psalm chapter 78, beginning in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Here it is. Whose responsibility is this to pass on the spiritual heritage? It is the Father's. Well, I don't know the Bible as well as my wife knows it. Then change that. Become the spiritual leader. Become the person that she comes to when she wants to know something about the Lord. You can. You can become that person. It takes a lot of work and study. Well, I work a job. Understand that. And that's where some of it comes in. A wife who's at home all the time, she may have a lot more time to do those type of things. But we need to make it our business to be the spiritual leader for our children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Here's three generations being talked about, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Here's what can happen when the command is obeyed. 2 Chronicles chapter 27, beginning in verse number 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Now he's a king. But it says, howbeit he entered not. Jotham didn't do this next thing. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Now, if you back up and look in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15 through 23, we're not going to read that, but what happened there at the end of his life, Uzziah got proud. He was a really good king. But he got proud and tried to take the priest's place by himself, offering incense in the temple. God smote him with leprosy. But the important thing there we need to see is that Jotham learned from that, because it says, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. I learned a lot from my father. I did the things that he did, but then I learned some things not to do. By the way, everybody who starts their own family will look at life and say, you know, I'm thankful for the way I was raised. Or in some instances, there are times where you're like, man, I had a terrible family life. Horrible family life. Well, there's two things you can do. You can think of the good and follow it, and then think of, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I did not raise my children exactly the same way I was raised. I learned some things about fatherhood, some good and some that were not so good. By the way, that'll be the way with my children, okay? They've got to make their own decisions about life. I may make decisions that are not the decisions that I made. I'm just saying it rises and falls upon the husband to set the standard. Notice this, it says, and the people did yet corruptly. There's a long line of kings, some good and some bad. And Israel never did recover from all the bad kings that it had. Okay, be a revival, and they go back. Be a revival, and then they go back, and so on and so forth. So at this point, there was not a revival among the people, but here's what we need to understand. Even though everything around him, the new king, was corrupt, Jotham kept on doing the right thing. That's what we had to do, okay? You can get swept away by this world. Young person, let me say this to you. You know, your parents trying to set the right example, and you think, we've been infected for many years by the teaching of evolution. That basically says every generation that comes along is smarter than the generation before it. You may know how to work your phone better than your grandma does, or your email. Can you bake a cherry pie? Billy Boy? Okay? Do you have a faith in the Lord? I'm just saying it's important for us to understand and to take a stand on the things of the Lord. Then what can happen if this doesn't happen, of passing this along? 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Do right or don't do right, it affects the next generation. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1 and 2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Oh, how important it is, this matter of the local church. Passing along the greatest way to teach your child is by example. Example. I mean, when your child grows up, they're going to figure out somewhere down the road that mom and dad don't have a perfect marriage. Okay, but what they need to see is what happens when that conflict is there. You know, sadly today, too many young people, well, I don't know what my mom and dad did, just quit on it. By the way, that's not meant to try to make somebody feel bad. You can't do anything about your past. You can do something about your future, amen, and try to help people and say, look, I didn't understand some of the things that I want my children to understand. I didn't comprehend, and I wasn't in a place for one reason or another. I'm just saying to you, what we do speaks far louder than what we say. There's a breakdown of just one generation of passing the things of God on to the next generation. Notice what I'm going to say. Then the knowledge of God will cease, and a whole two generations will have to be evangelized by someone outside the family. It would be great every generation. Everybody in church, their kids, may not go to the same church, but they go to church. And then the grandkids, they go to church. Just a matter of just wonderful importance. And if just one generation fails, then who's going to pass that on to that next generation? Somebody outside the family. Of all people, it ought to be the leader of the family, the father, who leads his family. Let me give you quickly the profit then of church attendance. It's an avenue of worship. Verse number 22 of our text, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Avenue of worship, verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Faithful that promised. There's a prophet. It's an avenue for worship. Came across this a number of years ago. It's entitled "A Letter from Parson Jones." Here's what he said. "Attendance at church last Sunday was mighty poorly. I don't reckon I ought to grumble because I had a bunch of sick members. And when you add to all that my shut-ins, we don't have a sight of pew fillers. So I went ahead and preached to what I had. Only thing was the echo in the near-empty church hurt my ears. My wife said I needed to get out and ride a while and let the fresh air clear my head. It done the trick. Our little ride not only cleared my head, it made me feel right good inside. When I saw what I saw made me rejoice. I saw miracle after miracle. Old Hezekiah, who had been deathly sick that very morning, had roused up and was riding down the highway with his fishing poles. No, nothing but a miracle could have rescued old Hez from the jaws of death in such a short time. Now there's Roof's brother. Roof told me Sunday morning that his brother's back was in foul shape, that they was afraid an operation was going to be necessary. Well, we remembered him in our prayers. And lo, and behold, about 2 o'clock that afternoon, there he stood at the driving range hitting golf balls. Wasn't that a quick recovery? He said all told about 20 of my sick folks had roused up and was taking nourishment in one form or another. But what really made me happy was to see so many of my shut-ins out riding around and enjoying the world. Hezekiah's Paul, who don't attend church because he can't stand crowds, was headed for the drag races. Sister Nell's mama, who was too weak to get out of the house, was in town shopping. Ellie Nickelslinger's, I don't know where they come up with this at, sister, who can't come on account of her kidneys, stood in line 2 hours to get into the show. It was a show about the miracle worker. Remember that about Helen Keller? He said, I thought it was right appropriate, seeing as how a miracle had happened to her. Yes, sir, thrilled my heart to see what I saw. Ought to have a packed house next Sunday with all my sick folks being healed, my shut-ins being set free. I just hope they don't overdo themselves before next Sunday and have a relapse. An avenue of worship. It's an avenue of service. Verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another. So much the more as you see the day approaching. It's an avenue. An avenue of worship. We can pray. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's a place where we can get comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Out there in the entertainment industry, there's not a whole lot of comfort. You can come to the house of God and hear the word of God and be comforted. No matter what's going on in your life, we can serve. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, if you're not a part of this church, God leads you to be a part of this church. This is a church that cares for one another. This is a church who tries to do things to help one another, be a blessing to one another. It'll be a positive thing. Then you can use your spiritual gifts to be a part of that and be a help to somebody else. It's not all one-sided. Serve one another. We can be admonished. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. You know, it's good when you get some strong Christians and you get some Christians that aren't as strong in the Lord, and maybe the preacher preaches on something, they don't understand it. Get a little out of sort. There's a strong Christian that they're friends with. That's why being willing to disciple people, and may I say, more importantly, being willing to be discipled. I'm telling you, in the 40 years I've been involved with Open Door Baptist Church, by far, the greatest problem is not somebody is not willing to disciple people. It's that the people who need to be discipled are like, they're not interested in following through. Get around some faithful Christians. They say, well, I know you didn't like something, but here's what he meant by that. Let me tell you, folks, you sit out there in church and hear, no matter who's doing the preaching, there's going to be times the devil's going to sin and say, man, you ought to get offended at that. You ought to be offended. Okay? You need sometimes somebody that can admonish you and say, hey, you know what you need to do? Just keep on coming. And if you're looking for a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll ruin it when you join. Amen. Because you're not perfect either. We're all flawed people. A church is a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints, as the old saying goes. There's care, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Serving each other, serving the Lord. It said that a devout preacher whose heart was aglow with missionary zeal gave notice to his congregation that in the evening an offering would be taken for missions, and asked for liberal gifts. That means to give a lot. We get mixed up on what that word means these days. A selfish, well-to-do man said to him, you're going to kill this church. If you go on saying give, no church can stand it. You're going to kill it. After the message, the preacher said to the people, Brother so-and-so told me that I'm going to kill this church if I keep asking you to give. But my brethren, churches don't die that way. If anybody knows of a church that died because it's been giving too much to the Lord, when you say about giving, I'm not just speaking of financial, but giving of our time and our talents and so on and so forth. He said, if anybody knows of a church that died because it's been giving too much to the Lord, I'll be very much obliged if my brother will tell me where that church is, for I'm going to visit it. I'll climb on the walls of that church and cry, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. You can't find a church that has a giving heart that'll die because of that. It'll sure die when we don't have that attitude. Well, how about it? Let me close with this. Psalm 122, verse 1 says this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, a lot of people out there, they'd rewrite this verse. You invite them to church, maybe a co-worker, maybe somebody you do business with, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody out on visitation. They would say, I was mad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful to be a part of Open Door Baptist Church. I'm thankful I can look over the past and see God's blessings. And I'm optimistic as I look to the future because I believe even better days are still ahead for Open Door Baptist Church through the leadership and direction of Pastor Taylor. I'm slowed down. I really am. I try to tell Pastor Taylor, my mind, man, is just not what it used to be. He said, I don't see it. No, I'm glad. I'm glad you can. But I can. But if you's in there, you know. He said, it sounds like a scary place to be. Yeah, it is. Don't have the energy. I'm thank God. In God's plan, there's a lot of you that are sitting here that are here because He's here. Some of you are here because some of you 30 years ago are still here. That always amazes me. I'm thankful for that. It really has nothing to do with who stands up here the most. It has to do with the Lord. This is His house. It's not the place He lives. Where He lives is in our hearts. It's called the house of God because it houses the believers. They're the church. And thank God we can have a part of that. And ask God's blessing as we look to the future. Let me ask you to bow your head for a word of prayer. Maybe you're here and you haven't accepted Christ as Savior. Or you're unsure about whether or not you have. Being a member of a church or faithfully attending every service will not, one of my old pastors said, move you across the street when it comes time to die as far as going to heaven. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we have eternal life. Maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, I'm not for sure. I don't know for sure that I know Christ is my Savior. Anybody like that, you slip your hand up. Being, I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm not sure if I know Christ as my Savior. Let me encourage you. If that is the case, respond to the invitation. Pastor Taylor will be here at the front. He can talk to you about your need of Christ, show you how to be saved, or put you with someone. Whatever the case may be. Maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, I do know that I know the Lord, but the Lord spoke to my heart, gave me something I needed from His Word this morning. God bless you. Several hands. Let's stand together and I'll pray, and then the invitation will begin. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the founder, true founder of the church. Bless the time we've had together, speak to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, anyone who lifted their hand, is unsure about their salvation, would get it settled before they leave. Then, Lord, I pray it help each of us to remember and to implement in our lives the importance of the local church. Help us, especially as men, to take our rightful place as the head of the home in all matters, including church attendance. That's the time we've had together. In Jesus' name. Amen.